Let's say Bill Newbert learns tomorrow from a local attorney that he has a large sum of money coming to him from his long-lost... We're going to get to that part, Bill. That Bill learns that he has a long-lost great-great-uncle Oscar who he never met. Oscar's from Texas. Bill gets very excited when he hears this because he never knew his great-uncle, Oscar. And he's now excited he can contribute to the future church building at 2703. That's Cranberry Highway. Bill has a big heart. It all sounds good, but until Bill sees the last will and testament of his long-lost great-uncle Oscar's intentions, it's only a great thought. Sometimes this stuff can... You've won $25 million, right? Email us your checking account number, and we'll deposit the money, right? So all this is good, and it's won Bill's, at least his curiosity. Bill goes to the local attorney's office who holds the will. Some of you guys are going to follow him, right? It reads, I, great-great-uncle Oscar, give all my annuities, investments, and cash accounts to my long-lost great-nephew, Bill Newbert. My executors may pay out of my estate, delivering to him their full value. Attorney looks at Bill and says, it's a lot of money, Bill. The last will was signed on September 1st, 1990, by great-great-uncle Oscar at 100 Court Street in Oil Springs, Texas. Sounds good, huh? Listed below were the several witnesses that signed, and this document was notarized. There is something about a legally binding document like a last will and testament that has the authority and power and is executable. It is reassuring. When Bill gets to the attorney's office and he sees his name from great-great-uncle Oscar and his name's in it and he's the intended recipient, it is reassuring. It's what's coming to him. And he didn't even expect this, right? Well, Bill, we'll give you plenty of places you can help with that investment, okay? Do you know that when it comes to the Word of God, it's legally binding, it's authoritative, and it's executable by God Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? The Bible states that it is impossible for God to lie. And you would see that in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. And you see that in the character of God throughout all of Scripture. Psalm 138, verse 2 says, "For you have exalted your word above your name." God's word is His perfect, loving, holy, and just character. And He stands behind it. So when you read in the Bible of things that are promised to you, it is your job to believe Him. Because He's making that clear to you. When God made His promise to Abraham, the Scripture says, since there was no one greater for Him to swear by, guess what the Bible says? He swore by Himself. He backs His word, His character, who He is. This is true reassurance. In Romans 8 is the scriptural will and testament of the believer's full confidence secured by the Lord Jesus Christ. You should memorize Romans 8. You should memorize all of Romans 8. The psalmist says, I will meditate on your word day and night. Believer, we are just waiting for our hope to be manifested and fully executed by Jesus Christ Himself. An unbeliever does not have this hope. You and I have the right to have this hope because the Bible says that Jesus Christ gave us the right to become the children of God, even those who believe on His name. Have you believed on His name this morning? Do you know that He's yours? Are you enjoying this? Or are you simply trying to come up to the great duty of serving God and you're trying to do that with great frustration? You need to know about the last will and testament that God has for you to see. In Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39, I want us to see these three truths this morning. And they're on the back of your bulletin. They'll also be up on the screen. I believe there are three just very powerful truths that are in this set of 8 or 9 verses. Christ is the proof of our victory. Number 2, circumstances often cloud our victory. And number three, Christ secures our victory. If we understand how we deal with the cloudiness, Paul says that we see dimly. Sometimes we see dimly. We don't see as clearly as we should. But because the Holy Spirit illuminates the Word of God to us, it is the believer's responsibility to lay hold of this precious Word. Let's look at it. Romans 8, chapter 30, verse 31 to 39. The Apostle Paul says here, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Is it God who justifies? Who is he that condemns? Is it Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. Any questions? Wow. That is a loaded set of scriptures. Every believer should know these scriptures. I would make it your aim and your ambition over this next week that you would etch those verses deep in your heart, that you would ask the Holy Spirit of God to bring these verses to your mind. This is the set of scriptures that covers us in any and every circumstance. Romans 8 begins with, "There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus," and ends with, "We are more than conquerors." Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." The power of knowing that you are safe and secure in Jesus Christ. Most people think that this means that nothing in my life is ever going to go wrong. That is not the teaching of this passage. This is saying that no matter what you go through, Christ will never forsake you. Christ will never leave you. It is astounding to realize that God's plan of salvation for people is a program that reaches from eternity past to eternity future, which God will carry out perfectly. Recognizing this, Paul asked and answered in verses 31 to 39 seven questions to drive home the truth that a believer's eternal salvation is completely secure and it's in God's hands. Some of these explicitly deal with a forensic matter. In other words, these are court-related type accusations. These are things that the judge of all creation can say, "Not guilty. Not guilty, because I love my Son so much that when He left perfect heaven and He came to bear out the world's sin, and anyone who will trust in Him, that His death, His burial, and His resurrection was the full guarantee for their salvation." The Bible says that when that person does that, they are forever saved. And now the deal is that you and I need to keep moving forward through the power of the Holy Spirit that's emphasized so perfectly in this passage. The Bible says that if a man does not have the Spirit, he does not belong to Christ. So how do you get the Spirit? You really just worked it up and say, "God, just please give me your Spirit." You might have done that, but it didn't take that. It simply said, "Jesus, I trust you. I know all my sin is on you. You bore it perfectly at the cross. You took my shame. You took my guilt. You took my condemnation. You took every regret, every abuse, every wrong thing I've ever said, every wrong thing I will still say, things that I don't like about my life, things that I wish were different, things that, in other words, Christ Jesus' sacrifice is the full payment, is the full reconciling transaction that makes you stand fully righteous in Jesus Christ. Am I excited this morning? Yes, I am. Nothing can touch this. There is no trip. There's no vacation. I saw a thing last night for $2,500 a month. You can get on some travel club to go to the most beautiful places in the whole wide world. Well, you still bring you there if you're lonely. You still bring yourself to the other side of the world. And you can say, you know, it's all in that beautiful ocean. Well, just go to the Bahamas right now. It doesn't look as nice as it once did, or parts of it. So it's not that you can just go find yourself in this world. What every human being needs, whether they realize it or not, is a complete washing by God. Is a complete consuming of the Word of God. When they eat the flesh of Jesus Christ, and I'm not talking about the Lord's table, but we receive His words internally, that these are for me, and I'm eating them. I'm gonna eat these words, I'm gonna take them. They are gonna be nourishment to my soul, and I'm gonna protect this with the Lord's help all the days of my life. Satan loves to do damage on believers. Guess what? He wants to do damage on this church. I was in a situation this past week, found out through a lot of local intel that I was interacting with a guy who's a pretty bad dude. I was face to face with him in a very public place, but I recognize that even in my own life as a pastor, in my eagerness to help and serve, there are times where Satan could use one of these people to try to take the pastor out. Now, this guy didn't threaten me in any capacity, don't get any ideas, but I realized that sometimes, you know what? Satan would love to do damage. That's why somebody said to us, I believe it was at a prayer meeting this past week, we need to have groups of people who are dedicated to praying on behalf of things that we're doing. If you are a person of prayer, you pray for Grace Lighthouse Fellowship next Saturday, October 5th. We're with the beer trucks. We're with everything. We're with all the good food and all whatever's going to be part of the Wareham Food Truck Festival. We should be there. We should be shining the hope of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus wherever we can. And I pray that whoever represents this church next week would be able to truly train their heart and mind that I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And if God gives me an opportunity to speak to someone next week, I'm going to open my mouth and tell them that our church stands for something so powerful. And we want you to come. That's what this is about. In any way, underestimate what God is doing. Churches just don't get land like this, okay? The way that this happened, and I can tell you, it's been a remarkable process to watch. And you know what? With the way it happened, the final week that it happened, it was like, we were willing to try to do this, and God says, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to really surprise you. And some of us were reading emails with our jaws wide open. Huh. Only God. Only God. So, some of the questions in Romans chapter 8 are dealing with a forensic matter. They're legal matters. Because Satan would love to remain, he's the accuser of the brethren. And you're talking about the highest realm. Satan was the highest of the archangels. Do you realize that he was created and he rebelled against God? I will be like the Most High. I will be like the Most High. I think of the Apostle Paul when he says he's caught up into the third heaven. He cannot even speak about what he sees. So we have people today saying they have all these visions of heaven. Well, guess what? The Apostle Paul, who is God's choice servant, he says, I'm not even permitted to speak about such matters. And because of that, God gave me a thorn in my flesh to keep me from boasting. Because I might be tempted to boast, because when we get a glimpse of the glory of God in its fullness, it might cause us to think that we're so special. And that's what happened, I believe, to Satan. And so he has been cast out of heaven, a third of the demons, and now they have access to planet Earth, where we live. You say, well, why are you talking about all this, Pastor? Because this is what the Bible says. Because we were created in the image of God. And God is able to place a brand new nature in us before we leave planet Earth. Wow. You think about all this stuff about aliens and all this extraterrestrial conversation that goes on around us. Don't you for one second not think that Satan is not behind that. How will they explain the rapture? Ooh, the extraterrestrial, you know, all this stuff took them off because they couldn't survive here. Now we'll have one big piece and Mother Earth will shake all the stuff, and they have their whole version of this. You can read about it. You can read about it. So Satan's the master of lies. He is a deceiver. And I believe that's the number one strategy he has in the life of every believer. He's about robbery, and he's about robbery, about taking stuff that belongs to you. And if you learn Romans chapter 8, you'll learn how to protect the investment. You'll learn how to protect the will and testament that belongs to you, because your thinking is correct. And you're not afraid to stand your ground and hold up the will and say, it belongs to me. Hallelujah. This is so, so good. A born-again believer should be locked on every promise of God in Scripture. The apostle says, for all the promises of God are in Him, are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God. Remember how Jesus put it, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. How do you follow Jesus? You keep believing Him. You keep trusting Him. You walk closely with Him. You're in intimate conversation with Him. You know Him. Paul says, I want to know Him in the power of His resurrection. But you're gonna have but part of that is knowing God in your sufferings too. See, people think, well, if I just get rid of this season of suffering out of my life, that somehow my life will be better. And can we just get over the suffering stuff? Actually, God wants to use that to bring you to a place that you wouldn't be outside of that suffering. God has a perfect way of letting the church be built in a way that we would not do it this way, right? We just think we know better. No, God knows better. And Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And in light of what Romans chapter 8 is, people say, well, you can take yourself out of the hand of God. No, you can't. According to the Scripture, you cannot. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. In other words, He's greater than you. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So we want to keep in mind that God has a security message for the church. And unless we understand these things, there are things that, even though we have the complete proof of our victory, we have things that will often cloud our victory. And that's why Paul says here, what then shall we say to these things? You hear me pray this often. If God is for us, who can be against us? That's right here in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? See, people say, well, what's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? See, people think because I doubted God, or I had some moment in my life where I had made a bad decision, or I acted like I didn't know God, somehow that's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is denying the fact that Jesus Christ died for you. And His full payment is enough to cover you, and not only you, everyone. it's an everyone covering. So the sacrifice has been made. It's perfectly presented by God. Yes, you and I say, well, how is that perfectly presented? It's a bloody Savior on a cross. Well, that's precious blood. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. This goes all the way back to the Old Testament scriptures. The Old Testament system pointed to the fact of Him. And you'd think when the Lord Jesus Christ shows up and John the Baptist declares, you know, that this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, the nation at that point should have known. but the leadership rejects him because you, claiming that you, a man, claim to be God, claim to be equal with God. And so they crucified him. They put him on a cross. Now, God knew that this would happen. It's not surprising God. God the Father knows what his Son is going to do. And so he who did not spare his own Son, verse 32, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? People think this is just stuff. It's not stuff. It's the further knowledge that belongs to the believer. This is further opportunity in your life to serve him. This may indeed be some blessing. Let's not say that. That's not it. But I believe that God wants us to see what belongs to us. And he wants to see how gracious and gift-giving he is. That's why when we hear the name of the Lord Jesus taken out of vain, or somebody just says it in a way that's just bad, or they get bad baggage about God, it's our job as believers to represent him well. How are we doing at that? Some of that we need to improve. We need to ask God. We need to study the scripture. The Bible says to study the word of God and show yourself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. When somebody brings an accusation against your Lord, you say, wait a minute, let's talk. Do you know who you're speaking of? Do you know what you're saying? Do you understand what he did for you? And we want to represent him well. Because it goes to show every time you fail God, guess what? He didn't abandon you. He didn't leave you. And that's so evident right here. This is the full proof of our victory. Number one, this is I'm still on the first point here. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? In other words, Satan's going to accuse you all day long. And Jesus does not need to remind the Father that he paid for your sin. That every time you sin, Jesus shows up to the Father's presence and says, I paid for his sin. Guess what? God knows. God fully knows that your sin has been paid for. He also fully knows what our life is presently looking like here on planet Earth. He understands our life. He knows it. He knows that if we're weak, and of course, we should be part of the weak club. I am part of the weak club. That's not W-E-E-K. It's W-E-A-K. Weak all the time, but strong in Christ. Amen? So who shall bring a charge against God's elect? There's a lot of stuff that could bring a charge against you, believer. You know it and I know it. You know things that still come out of your mouth. You know thoughts that are still in your head. And I've had people say to me in this church, Pastor, if you really only knew what's in your head. I don't need to know because I know what's in my head. Right? That was a joke. I mean, I'm serious. Like, you can lighten up a little bit. I know what's in my own head. I know what I've thought. And see, all as I'm seeing there, see, that's a wonderful thing about what you still might see in your life that isn't good. Most believers think, I promise I will follow Jesus perfectly all the days of my life. I surrender all. But why is it that you're still finding that this thing, part of you does not want to cooperate with God? Why is that? Where do those thoughts come from? Where did that tendency that you've been trying to shake for 25 years, why is it still in there? Because you got a sin nature. As part of your DNA, as part of your bloodstream, it came with you when you came in. This is the great, violent, if you want to call it, offense to God's creation. It's sin. Just look at the rap sheet of certain criminals. One of the gentlemen that I met and did a little bit of research on this week found out that he's quite a rap sheet. He didn't have to be taught how to be whatever he is, abusive and violent. That's part of every human heart. We say, well, it's not part of my heart, Pastor. Well, the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Praise God that you're not a violent criminal. I praise God for that, right? We don't want that. But the Bible says every one of us has that potential. And Jesus says if you've even thought it, you're guilty of it. And that can make us really uncomfortable. But see, that's why you've got to go to further teaching in the Word of God and make sure that just because you still may be prone to thoughts that you're not happy about or you wish that you didn't have them. I know some people in our church are really struggling who they are as an individual. They don't like what they see and they constantly beat themselves up. The Bible says on the authority of this chapter, you don't have the right to do that anymore, believer. And you need to go get over beating yourself up. Stop having a pity party. And enjoy what Jesus Christ did for you. Because Satan wants to keep rubbing our face in what we are or what we're not. And somewhere in there, I believe that this is where the church of the Lord Jesus Christ misses the blessing to move forward. There are times when I say, I get to do this. What a privilege. What a wonderful, awesome privilege. Am I perfect? No. But God says, I'm righteous. And on that basis, I stand my ground. And yet I want to see the manifesting power of His Spirit in all I do. So who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Is it God who justifies? Who is He who condemns? Is it Christ who died? In other words, every time you're tempted to condemn yourself, remember who died for you. Move it right over to Him. Instantly. Train your mind. Train your mind. Move it right over to Him. Move it right over to Him. And guess what? He's not dead. He's alive. The Bible says He's alive forevermore and He's coming again. The great hope of the church is the rapture. Do you believe in the rapture? Because God does. Right? God teaches it. He wants us to have this hope. And it could be today. Nothing else happens. Israel doesn't have to become some treaty and all this stuff has to be signed. The rapture could happen at any moment. And then there will be things that will be very clear to the world. And they'll be saying, where did 20 million people go? Where did they go? Well, we know what the Bible says. We're forever with the Lord. And where He is, we will be with Him. Smile. You're on candid camera. It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. In other words, we got it made. We have it made with the Lord Jesus Christ. But see, circumstances, number two, cloud our victory. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? This is everyday stuff. Tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness. This is when I have no money. I'm being threatened. People don't like me. They're saying all nice, not nice things about me. Oh well, I'm in good company with Jesus. What are they going to say about you? He says, if they called me this, what are they going to say about you? I'm like, yeah, you're right, Jesus. I don't even come close to you, but thank you so much for the perfect righteousness that you bestowed to my account because you accomplished for me what I could never do. And you say it's a gift if I will receive it. I receive it and I want it. And because of that, I can grow in a conquering status in my thinking with God. So tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it's written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to the slaughter. Do you know that in Paul's day, about once a day, someone was thrown to the lions? When Paul was writing to the Romans, just remember who were the Romans. They put who on the cross? So Paul is writing to a group of people who crucified. This is the group that would have been responsible, at least their leadership would have been responsible for crucifying the Lord Jesus. And now he's appealing to the Romans. See how God reaches out to his enemies? While we were yet sinners, Romans 5 verse 8, Christ died for us. God loves his enemies, but he will not let an unreconciled enemy come into his presence ever, ever. This is called an eternity in hell. This is away from God forever and ever and ever and ever. You will never, a person will never be outside of the lack of the knowledge and the full presence of God. They will never be in his presence because they've ignored this sacrifice. That's why we have to fight for this. We have to declare it and never get tired of believing this beautiful, wonderful message. For your sake, we are killed all day long. Paul talks about a number of his epistles, talk about the amount of suffering that he did. Took 40 lashes. I mean, just, you know, he escaped in one setting. He had to get away from them. Lower down in the basket. I mean, you just think of the apostle's life, and yet he recognizes that, you know, he's like a sheep to the slaughter. And he knows in his final days he's going to be martyred for Jesus. How about you? How about me? Are we ready to take one for him? We could, but guess what? the believer still wins. Don't worry, but Jesus says, don't worry about those who can kill the body. Rather fear him who can put both soul and body in hell. And that's God's desire, is that he would save people. But recognize that if a believer is taken early, they're with the Lord forever. In one sense, they've been freed from the suffering of this world. But no believer should be after trying to get out of here sooner than... Some of us drive that way, and we should be careful, right? Some people drive, and they don't think about their life, and they don't think about the relationships that they have. I don't want to be stupid, because I don't want my life cut short for any other reason. I want to serve God till God says he's done. And I've got my way of calling him home. And guess what I'm praying for? The rapture. That's going to be awesome. Because that's an instant transformation. Everything that we want different in our lives, in our bodies, God's going to remedy that in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. Barely, that was like forever. There's no snapping of fingers. It's going to be instantaneous. A growing believer learns how to reconcile who they were and who they are now in Christ. The only way to succeed is a conscious awareness of Christ in you, the hope of glory, empowering you through his word and his Holy Spirit. I love what Paul says in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So that's number two. Circumstances often cloud our victory. We're focused too much on this stuff. But you have to realize it's God says all things are working together for good. He said that in just a few verses. We looked at that last week. God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. And number three, Christ secures our victory. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, these are things in the heavenly realms. These are the things that can harass the believer. Amanda woke up this morning and said, Dad, I had a horrible dream. And see, dreams can feel very real. Sometimes people have dreams that are so real that they're actually afraid to go on with their day. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Dreams can shake us up. But see, it's awesome. Middle of the night, I got this horrific Charlie horse. Ah! Okay, it hurt. It was about that loud. My wife's like, now you know what I go through every night. Because she deals with these things too. I'm like, yeah, you know, you passed yours off to me tonight, you know. But, you know, all these things, sometimes we can have sleepless nights and all types of... you know, things that go wrong in our life, in our day. And I know some people said, you don't even realize the week I just had. Yeah, I get it. I get it. I fully get it. Go spend a week with my household for a week. You'll see what we go through. It's all good. But it's ups and downs. It's lows. It's moments. It's disappointments. It's stuff. I get it. But I get to show up here one more time. And I get to proclaim this glorious word. And I don't want to stop proclaiming it. This is so worth it to me. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. In other words, what God is saying, nothing. A big, huge, enormous, bold nothing. People in your lives are making... Some of you know people who are making horrific decisions. You've told me about that. It's heartbreaking. And God would want you, Satan would want you preoccupied with that. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Keep your eyes. Your job and my job, the only thing that I am responsible for is to maintain my own joy in Jesus Christ. When I'm doing that, and the church as a whole collectively is doing that, we are a healthy people because we know that we already won. Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation. Take heart, I've overcome the world. Yeah, these are dark days. I get it. I see stuff. I see stuff going on. I'm like, what are people thinking? Like, if it wasn't for Christ, I would be in the same darkness. If it wasn't for Jesus rescuing my life, I would be in the same darkness. I would not have this beautiful wife beside me and these awesome children who love Christ. This is God's work. This is God's faithfulness. I love you guys. I worked them so hard on the weekends. I could see it in their faces. And Aaron says to me on Saturday night, "You gonna wake me up early? You know it, boy. We're getting you up early." And you know what? You know what my family does? We start getting ready about 3 o'clock on a Saturday, so that we can be here on time, so that we can make sure that this place is running and functioning. I don't get here by 8 o'clock by accident or 8:30. I get here because I plan to be here. I plan success. I overcome stuff. I overcome because I realize, you know, Dave just wants to chill out. No, you know, that's part of me. But I realize, oh man, if I chill out for too long, I'm going to be late. So it happens. I like what this person said. I'm going to just wrap up with this. Then we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. As you come into the Lord's Supper this morning, you need to know that nothing separates you from the love of Christ. If you're not in Christ, you're separated from God. And I would pray today that you would know that Christ is for you. And that it's a simple prayer that you would say, "Jesus, I take you at your word that I know you died for me. I understand that all of my sin, whether I can see it all or not, was nailed to that cross. And I receive your perfect gift in my life. On the basis of that confession, you have eternal life." And I pray that you've made that decision. And don't play around with it if you haven't. This person says, "God has the final say, not the devil. Father, through it all, every battle, every struggle, every storm, you are always with me, right by my side. And Lord, each time the rain poured, you said the battle is already won and I will overcome. Resting assured, relying on your word, and placing my uttermost faith in you, I emerged victorious each and every time." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word and its just impression on our hearts even right now. How much we need to be reminded of these truths, that every believer here at Grace Lighthouse would do well for us to, each of us, to make sure we own this. We own Romans 8. We understand how the Christian life is supposed to be a continual look to the hope that's promised to us. And I praise you for every soul in these seats, Lord, this morning. I thank you for each person here this morning. I pray for them, Lord, whatever the struggle might be this morning, that this would be a day they say, "I am resting assured that I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus." If that's you this morning who needs prayer, I'd love to pray for you right now. No one looking around. Anybody here this morning that says, "Pastor, I need prayer," raise your hand. I want to pray for you as we close together. Praise the Lord. Anybody here this morning that doesn't know Christ as their Savior and Lord, never trusted Him before now, is that you this morning? If there's a hand that needs to be raised, I pray that you would raise your hand and say, "I know I need to be saved and I want to be saved." Anybody here this morning? Well, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the willing hearts of the people in this place. I thank you for what you're doing, and I thank you for what you've described so clearly for us to see in your word. I pray that the believer in this place this morning, for those who express that they need prayer for the next steps moving forward in their lives, Lord, I pray for them that you would strengthen them, that they would zero in on the word of God. That they would say, "I am done with doubting God. I am ready to lay hold of these precious truths that belong to me." Lord, if we want to know if we're elect, the Bible says to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You are part of the elect, being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, that God already preordained before the foundation of the world that we're going to be conformed to the glorious image of our Savior. I thank you, Lord. I pray for you to continue to knit these truths into the hearts of every believer. And again, if there's somebody who's never called upon Christ to save them this morning, that this would be their day of salvation, September 29th, 2019. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.